AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. A winter storm is pounding parts of the northern plains. Meteorologist Dave Aguilera with CBS News Colorado says some parts of the state have gotten about 8 inches of snow so far.
Last week, we were talking about a storm coming out of Alaska, one coming out of California. They have merged over Nebraska, and it is just swirling here. We've got problems from Detroit back into Minneapolis, Bismarck, right into Colorado, back into Wichita here.
U.S. forces carry out an airstrike in Iraq overnight, hitting Iranian-backed militant groups. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
U.S. forces carried out airstrikes on a militant group based in Iraq. The strikes early Tuesday targeted three sites controlled by Kitab Hezbollah, a group backed by Iran.
Israel says it will no longer grant automatic visas to employees of the United Nations. Correspondent Robert Berger from Jerusalem on why.
Israel has responded to UN criticism by accusing the world body of being complicit partners with Hamas.
CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans plan to call for an audit of diversity policies and practices across Wisconsin state government agencies next year. That's after negotiating to freeze diversity efforts at the universities of Wisconsin. Democrats call the move purely political.
It's really clear that Speaker Voss is choosing to double down on culture wars instead of addressing the issues that are really facing Wisconsinites.
Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer speaking with WKOW's Capital City Sunday. Christmas Day high temperatures broke records all over Wisconsin. Yesterday's high was 54 in Green Bay. Other new records include 54 in Appleton and 52 in Stevens Point. Records were also broken in Wausau, Marshfield, and Superior, to name just a few. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Plover police are looking for Natalie A. Sullivan, age 45. She's wanted on pending charges of first-degree reckless homicide and manufacturing and delivering of Schedule 1, 2 narcotics. She has dark shoulder-length hair with blonde highlights and flower and butterfly tattoos on her shoulders. If you have information on Natalie, please contact Portage County Communication Center at 715-346-1400. If you don't know what to do with your deer carcass after processing it during the holidays, you can dispose of it at Portage County Solid Waste. They've partnered with the DNR to provide hunters with a safe and free disposal option. They have a dedicated dumpster on site now through January 31st. Portage County Solid Waste is also a CWD testing site. You can place deer heads in the self-service kiosk located next to the carcass disposal dumpster. The DNR recommends all deer be tested for CWD before eating the meat. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Two Wisconsin teams in the top 25. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers and Marquette Golden Eagles men's basketball teams remain in the AP's top 25 teams in the nation. Marquette fell to the number 10 spot after losing to Providence. The Badgers moving up a spot to number 23. They begin conference play a week from tonight against Iowa. NBA. The Bucks lost to the Knicks 129-122. That snapped a seven-game winning streak. Milwaukee goes across town to play the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow night. NFL. Strange story at the start of the Packers game Sunday in their win over Carolina. Defensive back Jair Alexander ran onto the field for the coin toss, and even though he wasn't a team captain, told the referees after winning the toss that he wanted the defense on the field instead of saying, "We defer." That could have been costly for Green Bay, having to kick off to start both halves. Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I know. That's a big mistake.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, a few flurries, and a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, highs into the upper 30s. A brief rain or snow shower is possible Wednesday night into Thursday morning. Chance of some light rain, cloudy and low 40s Thursday. Currently 35 degrees.
Hi, this is Seth Habhager, head of production and host of Seth Faces the Music on WFHR and Trail Tunes on WIRI, wishing everyone a very Merry Christmas.
One. Hurdy throws over the middle, picked off.
Moore.
Backside pressure, down he goes.
Game.
To the end zone. Touchdown, Braylon Allen.
The Badgers. The Tigers. Live from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida, it's the ReliaQuest Bowl. Join us Monday. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's topical.
Oh, no! Oh! Oh, we've been whammed! We apologize to our wonderful, wonderful
to
listeners.
To all our listeners. This is the first time I've heard this song this year, so yeah.
Okay, almost made it to the 19th. I don't know, do we decide if that counts or not?
I think it does. It's random. It's according to Seth's rules, it counts.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus.
Have you ever wondered why there's a NASCAR driver statue in this area? It's for Wisconsin Rapids native Dick Trickle. One of the first from the state to make it to the national circuit, Trickle was named the winningest short track driver in history. Along with a statue, he has several races here and across the country named in his honor. For locally grown radio, WFHR, I'm Terry Barr.
Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. No Dom, but I got Nate. Nate, I'm calling this the post-Christmas, may my opponents rot in hell, Tuesday edition. How you doing, Nate?
I'm doing okay. Did you have a good holiday?
I'm here. My daughter's not here, so I figure if Kelsey's not here to entertain us and regale us with her stories of the leftist coast, then, you know, I might as well talk relevant, live, politically here on the radio with you, Nate, because, you know, the people need us here. I don't know. Are we on a news talk radio network? Because I thought there was some live news and talking involved, but here we are. We'll do it. We'll carry the load. You know, I got a little bit of a sore back. It's from carrying the load. Usually that just means Dom. Merry Christmas to my little buddy, even though, you know, he doesn't celebrate. He's not a Christian. Pagan atheist that he is. You know, he still accepts Christmas gifts and drinks and the such, I bet. Just doesn't give him so much. But, you know, anyways, little buddy, if you're out there listening, why? Why? I know you don't like the show so much. You know, you just do it because. But anyways, folks, you're going to enjoy this show, and you can be a part. 844-967-2789. Because there's some important news that you might have missed over the Christmas holiday. And, you know, Merry Christmas to all those that celebrate. And that's pretty much everyone. At least you get some time off work, right? Hopefully. But a big ruling came down on Friday, a Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling, and this sort of dominated our Friday conversation. If you weren't there with us, you know, I get it, busy time of year, holidays and such, but today we're going to catch you up, and we actually have some updates on this story, and, you know, we've got a greater update on Robin Voss and the whole rotten hell thing. That's not a Crudy original. That's what the former president, that was his Christmas sentiment to the nation, and his opponents, of course. But we'll hold off on that. We'll talk about that later in the big show, perhaps in the happy hour, question mark. But for now, we're going to talk about what happened in the great state of Wisconsin, because this will impact the politics tremendously here in the state we live in. And again, I don't know if I threw the phone number out there, you know, been a couple days since I did live radio, but 844-967-2789. Promise, we're live. If you call, Nate will answer. Get to you eventually, but let's give you the newest update in the court case. The Wisconsin Supreme Court Republicans likely to take Wisconsin gerrymandering case back to the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, Jesse Apoy and Molly Beck at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I could not disagree more with your headline. And I understand the journalists don't always have the benefit of writing their own headline. I don't think the U.S. Supreme Court wants this, but here's why. And we talked about it, and we'll give you a little of the reporting, and then I'll give you more of my, you know, Trudy Christmas opinions. Republican lawmakers are likely heading back to the U.S. Supreme Court. I don't think they will. I don't think they can. But anyways, are likely heading back to the U.S. Supreme Court to defend Wisconsin's electoral maps that have delivered huge GOP majorities for years. But they'll first have to convince the nation's high court it has a reason to intervene in the dispute. You do not. I read on. The Wisconsin Supreme Court on Friday ordered the Republican-controlled state legislature to draw new legislative boundaries ahead of the 2024 election, arguing the maps are unconstitutional because many districts' boundaries are not contiguous, meaning they include pieces of land that are not connected. And the court, in a 4-3 decision, said it also prepared to replace the state's heavily gerrymandered maps if the legislature and the Democratic governor cannot agree on a new plan. There'll be no new plan. So I think this was prudent action on behalf of the court. If you're going to order new maps, you got to be able to put them in place in time for next year. 2024's vital elections. So they've put a plan A in place. Go do the right thing, Robin Voss and LeMahieu, and come to agreement over fair maps with the governor and all this goes away quiet. But that's not going to happen. Or we'll continue to use outside consultants, and they've named their consultants. They're pretty famous map cartographer sort of people. So they'll have their team drawing the maps. But the underlying reason and rationale for this decision, as was stated in the majority decision, as written by Kurofsky, and I read big chunks of this majority decision on Friday. Got to be honest, haven't read any more of it since. But I trust my memory in this regard. The contiguous nature of the districts, that was the big sticking point. They're not contiguous. In fact, there are lots of districts that are not contiguous here in the state of Wisconsin. And what the majority decision said is we rely upon the Wisconsin Constitution, which says they must be contiguous, and they're not. Therefore, we throw out all the maps. You must redraw all the assembly districts. You must redraw all the state Senate districts. So 99 assembly districts, 33 Senate districts. You got 3 assembly districts. They glom them together, and that's the Senate district. And everyone in the assembly must run on the new maps in 2024. Every 2 years, the assembly, everyone's up for re-election. And in the state Senate, the senators that won their offices 2 years ago, they get something of a reprieve from this Wisconsin Supreme Court decision. Everybody else is on the new maps. As would normally be the case, I believe 16, 17 Senate races every 2 years. So that's the way it works. And that is what the court has cast here, and it's supposed to happen pretty rapidly. But that's not what Republicans want to hear. Certainly not Robin Voss. He loves these maps. He's been the longest impaneled speaker of the Assembly of the great state of Wisconsin because of these gerrymandered maps. You know, what's his favorite saying? Well, you know, if the Dems just had better candidates with better ideas. And he sort of repeats that message today. And he sort of makes this over-conflation. Let me read a little bit further from the reporting. Again, Jesse Poyen, Molly Beck at the Journal Sentinel. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Rochester, said the U.S. Supreme Court would have the last word in the matter, suggesting he plans to ask the nation's high court to reconsider the state Supreme Court decision. Here's a quote. Voss: "We will pursue all federal issues arising out of the redistricting litigation at the U.S. Supreme Court." A bold statement, full of malarkey. Full of malarkey. That's not how it works. In order to get the U.S. Supreme Court to look at the case, again, I'm reading from the journalist here, the legislature and its allies will need to make the argument that there was a violation of federal law. That's because, explained Rob Yablin, University of Wisconsin law school professor and co-director of the State Democracy Research Initiative, the core legal claim in the case, contiguous, whether or not the districts are contiguous, that was the defining issue of the majority decision, is a matter of state law, state constitution. So, Robin Voss, you can talk a good game, but I'm not exactly sure what the federal cause would be. Now, again, to the journalist here. The case brought to the court argued the maps violate Wisconsin's constitution, because some legislative districts include pieces of land that are not connected. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has the last word on state law issues, according to Yablin, the constitutional law professor. Now, a request for the U.S. Supreme Court to weigh in on a state Supreme Court decision or a federal appeals court decision is known as a petition for certiorari or a cert petition. Under U.S. Supreme Court rules, 4 of 9 justices must vote to accept such a case. So you got to get 4. You got 6 conservatives. So you could probably gather 4, but you got to have reason. And the reason's got to be a federal reason. Can't be, I don't like the ruling. Although you got to wonder with this partisan makeup of the court, I still think Robin Voss is wrong. Here is more. The majority did a really intentional job of sticking to a very narrow state constitutional issue, which has the effect of insulating a lot of the decision from the U.S. Supreme Court review. Now, this, according to Daniel Suhr, a Republican attorney who served in the Scott Walker administration. When a case is decided on only state constitutional grounds, there's not a U.S. constitutional hook for the Supreme Court to rely on in intervening. Yeah, that's going to be a problem for you, Robin Voss. You can talk a good game, but you don't have the hook. That leaves anyone intent on challenging the decision to find a federal hook. Well, you know, they'll go looking. And the hook they're going to seek, well, it's got to come from Proto Sabowitz, right? This newly elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, she came to the court telling you it was rigged. The maps were rigged. And we now see her decision, this 4-3, she ruled with the majority that they were indeed rigged because they're not contiguous. A little bit more from the reporting here. Usually, this is a quote again from the Republican attorney, usually to go to the Supreme Court, we have to have a final judgment. The case has to be over and resolved. And it's not clear to me that this is where we are. Well, so what? But the one argument, and I guarantee this will be the hook, if you will, that Robin Voss and his ilk and, you know, outside counsel funded by we, the taxpayers' money. That's a Christmas gift that we give to the Republicans each and every time. Remember during the lame duck when they made that decision for all the Wisconsin taxpayers? Not only were they going to hamstring the Democratic governor in the will of the electorate, and of course the attorney general by extension, but they're also going to, you know, change a few things, mostly for their own benefit. So when we come back, we're going to tell you why these Republicans think that Proto Sabowitz might be the key to hooking the U.S. Supreme Court and somehow overturning this. Seems like a long shot. Robin Voss, contiguous state constitutional issues. But they're going to go after Proto Sabowitz. More Devil's Advocates. It's the day after Christmas. We're live, I promise.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Badger fans, be there when Wisconsin football returns to Camp Randall Stadium in the fall. Secure your season tickets today and be in the crowd when the Badgers take on Alabama, Oregon, and more big opponents at Camp Randall Stadium in 2024. For more information and to purchase Wisconsin football 2024 season tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Wishing you a happy holiday. Hope you enjoy this time of year with your loved ones and have a wonderful new year in 2024. From the Herman Taylor Funeral Home family to yours, Merry Christmas.
The end of the year brings no greater joy than the opportunity to express how grateful we are to our furry friends and our customers. Happy holidays to all, and may your new year be filled with happiness and success. Can't wait to see you in 2024 at Bow Wow Meow Boutique, a proud sponsor of 30 Hours of Christmas.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Joe, yours truly, Crudy, taking you post-Christmas holiday, because someone's got to do some live radio up around here. So I'm here, and Nate's here, lightly screening your phone calls if you'd like to be a part of the show. Join us, 844-967-2789. And I've got a few show notes before we get back to the redistricting case. In the latest news, you know, Robin Voss claiming he's running to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's the latest. I don't think he's got much for prayer, but if they're going to get there, the vessel will be Protasewicz. So we'll explain what we mean in just a minute. At least I'll try to see what I can do. Yeah, I still got the Christmas munchy mouth. And I've also got some exciting news, some show notes for you, our fair audience. Do you know the Packers are playing the Vikings on New Year's Eve? Had you looked forward? I mean, we just got through Christmas. I get that. New Year's Eve Packer-Viking game. Actually, it's Packers at Vikings. And it probably is instrumental for the playoffs. So even our friends listening on KTNF, you know, the progressive voice of Minnesota at 950 AM, they got a little rooting interest in this affair as well. Well, I suspect many of you will include Packer viewership or listenership in your, you know, your New Year's Eve. So what I would ask is you would consider listening on WRJN 1400 AM down in Racine, Kenosha, or, you know, get one of our FMs down there, 99.9 or 98.1, or you can listen to the Big Q in the Northwoods, 98.3 FM, in our anchor down in Richland Center, WRCO, also going to have the Packers for you. I believe that's 100.9. I know it's 100.9. I just say it, you know, just to make myself less of a radio geek because I've memorized all these different call signs. But anyways, Packers, New Year's Eve night. And then I'm going to need a solid out of some of you people. It's a lot to ask. I'm going to need you to get up early before the Badger Bowl game because the Badgers will be playing on New Year's Day. Did you know the Badgers had a New Year's Day bowl? Suck it, Ohio State. You don't have a New Year's Day bowl. We do. The ReliaQuest Bowl. You know, that's going to be one of the big ones because we're in it. And we're playing against LSU. And there will be no Heisman Trophy winning Jaden Daniels playing for LSU. And there'll be no Braylon Allen playing for the Badgers. But there will be a bowl game at 11 o'clock, and we will play it across the Civic Media Network on all our four Badger stations. Look them up locally, but no stream. No stream. So no Jaden Daniels, no Braylon Allen, no Civic Media stream, not permitted during the bowl game. But here's the ask part, the small ask. I'm going to kick off the year, and we're going to make a big announcement. We're launching a tour, a Fall in Love with Democracy tour 2024. I guess I already announced it. But going on a national outlet on New Year's Day morning, I need you to get up with me. It's going to be kind of early. It's going to be a bit of an ask. Some of you that celebrate the amateur hour the night before post-Packer game, stay out too late, you're going to have a little trouble. But set the alarm. Do it now. Do it now so you don't forget. But I'm going to need you to get up by 8 a.m. Central Time and watch Crudy talking about politics and the Wisconsin Supreme Court decision that affects the maps and perhaps the politics here for the next 6-7 years in the great state of Wisconsin. Maybe make the case for, you know, talk radio as a platform. You know, that's how I see the prism of most things in this world. And anyways, we're going to launch the Love for Democracy Tour 2024 on the C-SPAN at 8 o'clock on New Year's Day morning. That's a Monday. And if I got to get up, I would appreciate if you also considered at least setting the DVR, watching Crudy. We'll talk about the next day on the big show. Dom will be back with me on January 2nd, but I'll be on the C-SPAN January 1st, and I would expect at least a couple of you to get up and watch the C-SPAN that day. You know, I'll try to make it entertaining for you. I'm not going to burn it down like I did with the Fox News, but I'll try to make it fun. 844-967-2789. Your participation always makes it a little better. Dick from Madison. Did you have a Merry Christmas, my friend?
I certainly did. I hope you did, too. Can I change the subject to my opponents should rot in hell?
You can, but you'd be a little premature, but I'll let you get there.
Okay.
What a wonderful Christmas sentiment Donald Trump had.
Wasn't it, though?
For the vermin.
Here's my thing. Number one, where are true Christians on this, and why are they not speaking up? You know, they have to wake up at some point and call us out. Didn't Jesus make a call to welcome a stranger and love one's neighbor, you know?
Well, the kid was born in a manger, right? If you believe the Bible, right. He was born in a manger. Yeah. They weren't exactly greeted with open arms upon the birth of our Savior.
So this is why I have a problem with the evangelical wing. I mean, they say nothing, sit on their hands about this, and actually tell you they'll still vote for him. Donald Trump is not your Savior. He's just only pretends to be that. And wouldn't that be worshiping false idols? I mean, the guy is the furthest thing from a Christian human being on earth. And this stuff from the weekend, on Christmas Day, the President of the United States calls all the wings of the armed forces, does all the right things, and this clown comes out with this. He's unhinged. He's totally lost his mind.
Well, we seem very specific. Merry Christmas to all, including crooked Joe Biden, Only's Hope, deranged Jack Smith, an out-of-control lunatic who has hired outside attorneys fresh from the swamp, unprecedented, to help him with this poorly executed witch hunt. And then you know, sort of the closing statement, may they rot in hell again. Merry Christmas. See, he said Merry Christmas at the end, Dick. You know, like, go peacefully. Well, Merry Christmas. As long as you throw disclaimer at the end, you can say whatever you want.
Well, I guess, but I just find it a little bit, way beyond disingenuous. But my God in heaven, the guy has totally lost his mind. I couldn't even believe this coming from him. I can, but not on Christmas Day is what I'm saying.
But you think he tempers it on Christmas Day?
Well, I would have thought he would for the people out there, just to, you know, promote his phoniness some more. But no, I don't think he would temper it in private around people that he, you know, hangs with. I don't at all. He's probably far worse. Wouldn't you like to hear him unplugged?
No, not really. Not really, Dick. Not really. Because, you know, I think I'd be offended. I think he's probably a racist. I read his book, Donald Trump Revealed, some years ago. And he actually sat down for interviews for that book. And Dick, I'm glad you're listening, man. I'm glad somebody's listening today, day after Christmas. We're doing it live around here, but in the Trump book, Trump Revealed. Effectively, there were multiple incidences of his bigotry and his blatant racism. He only wanted Jews counting his money, never black people in the casinos. He would not rent to colored people, and I use the vernacular he used. They actually wrote a C on the applicant's file when they came to his dad's places in New York City. And he fought the federal government on this. And he had a consent decree, basically admitted guilt, and then didn't follow through on the consent decree. But Trump's got a long history of racism. And, you know, man, I'm not going to wreck my post-Christmas or the rest of any moment of my life hanging out with racists if I can help it. Come back. More devils. 844-967-2789.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden's job approval in Wisconsin is 42%. He was in Milwaukee last week to try to bring that number up. Congresswoman Gwen Moore speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front.
The cones that they see running around is money, that the apprenticeship that their nephew finally got into is part of what Joe Biden has done.
The president spoke to an audience at the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce in Milwaukee. The black vote is seen as crucial to winning Wisconsin next year. Gas Buddy says the average price for regular fuel in Wisconsin is $2.72. That's almost 3 cents lower than last week. Meanwhile, the national average price of gasoline has risen almost 3 cents to $3.07 a gallon. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The average gas price across Wisconsin is $2.72 today. Prices fell another 2.9 cents per gallon during the last week. Gas is over 21 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and 12 cents lower than during Christmas time last year. The national average rose almost 3 cents during the last week, but Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said prices could ease slightly this week ahead of the new year. He's optimistic there's still a chance of seeing the national average drop below $3 per gallon sometime before spring arrives. That would be a first since 2021. Gas prices in central Wisconsin today range from $2.59 to $2.63 per gallon. The Adams County Sheriff's Office is holding a Blue Blood Drive on January 10th. It will be at the Adams County Community Center from noon to 5. You can sign up to donate at redcrossblood.org. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in. And one.
The thrilling victories.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Takes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He had it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again.
The Packers back at work. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers coaching staff getting their game plan ready. After reviewing their win over the Carolina Panthers, Matt LaFleur says Jordan Love's quarterback sneak for a touchdown was an audible.
One cool moment was when we were on the goal line there in the first half, and he audible to that quarterback sneak. I think that shows kind of the level of growth that he's had in his game. That was a pretty cool moment.
The Packers face the Vikings in Minnesota Sunday night. The Bucks on the road face the Brooklyn Nets 6:30 tomorrow night after losing to the New York Knicks Christmas Day 129-122. Adrian Griffin.
Nothing changes as far as after every game. You take the good, you look at what you did well, and then you look at what you can do better. So it's just our job as coaches to, again, prepare them, be the most prepared team that we can be. No, it's not going to be easy, but do the things that go on to win, you got a good chance.
That's the Bucks head coach, Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, a few flurries, and a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, highs into the upper 30s. A brief rain or snow shower is possible Wednesday night into Thursday morning. Chance of some light rain, cloudy, and low 40s Thursday. Currently 35 degrees.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Bulls advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Don't want to be a
to the Devils Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday after Christmas. It's live, I swear. It's me and Nate. And we've been acknowledged, Jeff, from Shorewood on the text line. Nate, Crudy and the great Nate. Dom should be docked some salary for skating out. Need some more content from Nate, though. Might have to turn to you, Nate, later in the show. You know, Nate's also got the role of lightly screening the calls around here, Jeff. You know, you'd know that if you ever called. 844-967-2789. Also got a nice text. Liston in the Heartland. H-A-R-T-L-A-N-D. Heartland. W-A-U-K listener. Appreciate everyone listening the day after Christmas. Especially appreciate those that play a part at 844-967-2789. Phone or text works either way. And back to the U.S. Supreme Court, the threats of Robin Foss, claims he's going to take the ruling of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, written by Karofsky. This is the 4-3 ruling dropped on Friday that said everybody gets new maps for Christmas. Only that's not what Robin Foss really wanted. He really, really likes the current maps because they've made him the Speaker of the Assembly for years, right? And he gets to do whatever sort of malfeasant crap he wants to do and gets away with it primarily. But his threat, I'm going to run this all the way up to the flagpole, the U.S. Supreme Court, doesn't hold a lot of water, at least if his claim is regarding the actual ruling of the court. Because the Karofsky ruling, the majority ruling, the 4-3 ruling was about the contiguous nature of the districts, which is in the Wisconsin Constitution. And effectively, if you read this majority decision, they even include visual aids for guys like Robin Foss, just so you can see it with your own beady little eyes, Robin. So the ruling is about the contiguous nature and the fact that our current maps aren't, and the fact that constitutionally under the Wisconsin Constitution, they must be. Seems like a pretty open and shut case. But Robin Foss, oh, I'm going to take it to the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, what's the hook, Robin? What's the hook that makes you eligible or would make the U.S. Supreme Court, A, first take this case up, and B, overturn a state Supreme Court on a state court ruling about a state law? Well, what's the federal hook? So back to the reporting at the Journal Sentinel, Jesse Apoyan and Molly Beck. One GOP argument could focus on Janet Protasiewicz. Pretty sure this is the route they'd probably take. One potential approach, legal experts said, would be a federal due process claim based on the court's newest member, Justice Janet Protasiewicz's involvement in the case. Protasiewicz, who was elected with an 11-point margin in April, received about $10 million from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin over the course of her campaign. Now, what's not spelled out here is her opponent, Dan Kelly, also was the grandiose recipient of in-kind and cash contributions from the Republican Party of Wisconsin. This became a partisan race, but of course it's only a problem because the lefty won, and that changed the makeup, the majority of the court. So back to the reporting here. Lawmakers and others who called for Protasiewicz to recuse herself from the redistricting case argued new maps could disproportionately benefit Democrats. Protasiewicz, in her decision to stay on the case, argued the party's campaign contributions were not relevant because the party was not a litigant in the case, and because doing so would create an unworkable precedent for all of her colleagues who have also benefited from party contributions. Well, hell, Janet, they wouldn't sit out, you know, especially if contributions came more than a year ago, right, David Prosser? But anyways, back to the reporting here. Under the U.S. Constitution's Due Process Clause, a judge must recuse if they have a financial interest in the case. Well, that would not be applicable here. Or if there's a strong possibility of bias. The bar for that has been set very high. There are very serious concerns that have been raised in the public debate and presumably raised by the parties, according to the Republican attorney, Sir. But at the same time, it's an extremely high standard for anybody to get their case taken by the U.S. Supreme Court. And this one won't be an exception to that general reticence on the part of the justices to intervene, especially in state-specific litigation like this. So I don't know if, you know, Protasiewicz is your golden ticket, but Yablon, again, that's the constitutional law professor and Marquette University Law School professor Chad Oldfather said such a claim would be rooted in a 2009 U.S. Supreme Court decision, Caperton v. Massey. In that case, a 5-4 liberal majority ruled that a state Supreme Court justice in West Virginia violated the due process clause by refusing to recuse himself from an appeal of a $50 million jury verdict after the CEO of the lead defendant spent $3 million supporting his campaign. So, Supreme Court justice didn't recuse, got $3 million from Massey, who was the defendant in the case, and didn't recuse. The court concluded that there is a serious risk of actual bias when a person with a personal stake in the case has significant and disproportionate influence in placing the judge on the case by raising funds or directing the judge's election campaign when the case was pending or imminent. Well, here's the big difference. Massey, who gave money directly, unlike, you know, like when David Prosser was the direct recipient of campaign dollars from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, WMC, or the Wisconsin Realtors Association, WRA, you know, the very two same institutions that helped to write the porous Swiss cheese, never got a recuse, recusal rules for Wisconsin Supreme Court. I mean, under our recusal rules written by the WMC and the WRA, you don't have to recuse under any circumstance. Just ask David Prosser when these two were litigants before the court. Prosser excused himself from recusal by saying, well, the millions they gave me was over a year ago. So why would it matter? It's going to be pretty hard to my, you know, layman's opinion. I'm no legal mind here, but come on, man, this is ridiculous stuff. Now, back to the reporting. The court concluded there is a serious risk of actual bias when a person with a personal stake in the case has a significant disproportionate influence placing the judge on the case by raising funds or directing the judge's election campaign when the case was pending or imminent. Again, that is not the case for Janet Protasiewicz here. The determination includes the relative size of the contribution in comparison to all money supporting the campaign, the total amount spent in the election, and how much the contribution appeared to affect the election's outcome. This situation is distinguishable from Caperton in a lot of ways. Here's the most important one. The Democratic Party was not a litigant. The issue was a key issue in the campaign, as contrasted with Caperton, where the donations were on behalf of a coal company and were mostly made via an organization called And For the Sake of Kids. And the defendants are not private parties, but rather entities obligated to represent the best interest of the same we the people who elected Justice Protasiewicz, that according to Oldfather at Marquette University. Plus, Caperton was a decision dissented from by most of the court's conservatives. I'm mildly skeptical that SCOTUS will overturn the decision, but these days, who knows? Yablon agreed that a claim modeled after the Caperton would be a long shot. Well, Robin Voss, that's the only shot you got. Because the U.S. Supreme Court is not going to take up the case and overturn this predicated on the actual majority ruling. Again, Kurofsky talked about the contiguous nature. That's the part that doesn't comport with the Wisconsin Constitution. And if anybody's ever spelled that out, it was our buddy Mark from the SAC who's on line one. Mark, welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks for taking.
Yeah, it. Merry Christmas, man. Hope you had a good one.
Merry Christmas. Yeah, I started reading the dissent, and I just noticed the mean girl comments that Justice Ziegler was making, and that I just was getting too angry. You know.
Well, Hagedorn had a few mean girl comments as well, but I also read Ziegler. She was over the top a bit, Mark.
And it's just ridiculous. And I would remind Brian Hagedorn, if I remember correctly, wasn't he part of Scott Walker's team when they redistricted back in 2011, that he was advising Scott Walker on the maps back then? So if the man had any had integrity when it came to redistricting, he probably should have recused himself. I mean that, and Justice Ziegler, I can't get over the one where she actually was reprimanded or disciplined or whatever it was back when she judged on cases her husband was involved in. I mean, here this woman is talking about, you know, that how horrible it is, you know, this decision was made back in right after the election was decided in the favor of Florida Sawich. Well, I call BS on that because, I mean, that it is just that she said, well, you know, you have to wait for it to find you know, under what she's saying and what the conservatives are saying. Now, well, you have to wait till the 10 years is up before we can have a constitutional remedy here. Well, those maps were unconstitutional in the first place because of the contiguous issue. As I think I stated last week, is that justices are claiming they're there to uphold the Constitution. Well, where the heck were they when these maps were laid out? These previous maps were laid out before them and violated the contiguous and the compactness clauses in the Constitution. They weren't there. They weren't defending it. They weren't looking at that. And if they are such solons of justice, then why the heck weren't they safeguarding the Constitution against the maps in the first place?
Well, excellent question you ask. I wanted to make sure that Hagedorn indeed, and I did verify your math, Mark, and I think it's absolutely correct here. Just, you know, going to the easiest source, Wikipedia, the life in early years of Brian Hagedorn. Hagedorn was an attorney at a Milwaukee firm, Foley and Laudner, until 2009, when he was appointed as a law clerk to the Wisconsin Supreme Court's Justice Michael Gableman. I mean, what distinguished service. In 2010, Hagedorn was employed as an assistant attorney general in the Wisconsin Department of Justice under J.B. Van Hollen. Had nearly forgotten about the former AG. In December of 2010, Hagedorn was appointed chief legal counsel to Republican governor-elect Scott Walker. He remained in that office through July of 2015. And if I recall the time frame of this initial redistricting that baked the most partisan gerrymander in perhaps the nation's history into the cake, well, he would have been the legal counsel to Walker. That happened in the 2011 time frame after the 2010 census and the subsequent wave election, you know, pushing back on the Obamacare repeal and replace. 844-967-2789. Let's go, Paul. Merry Christmas, man. Welcome back.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, Crudy. Mark, you hit a lot of the high points I was going to bring up, but, you know, when this first came down, Voss, all of a sudden, he didn't want nothing to do with the Iowa way of doing it, which is independent. All of a sudden, he was on board with that. And I can't see that. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court is on the take to begin with, so I don't see them taking this case because originally, you can correct me if I'm wrong, they threw it back to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and then Hilgendorf, or whatever his name is, Hilgeborn, or
Hagedorn.
I might get the name wrong.
Hagedorn.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he just threw up his hands and said, "Oh, the heck with it then," and he just agreed with them. So, I really don't think the Supreme Court's going to take this. But if they don't, all they got to do now is drag this out, right, Crudy? If they drag this out for three, 4 or 5 months,
it would be more problematic if they actually accepted this, the writ of certiorari. If they took it up and then, you know, took oral arguments, and I mean, they wouldn't make a ruling until next summer, Wisco, and that would be too slow. I mean, it could happen on the rocket docket, but the rocket dock, meaning they could take it out of time and place and just grab it and go rule on it now. That's what Jack Smith had asked in regards to, you know, Trump's presidential immunity. But anyways, Wisco, Paul, no, I don't envision the U.S. Supreme Court wants any part of a state law issue about contiguous districts. And to try and throw Justice Protasiewicz off for failure to recuse would make them all look in the mirror. And that's not a pretty sight. Thank you, Wisco. Paul Moore, Devil's Advocates. Come on back.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
The more than 27,000 union carpenters who call the North Central States home wish you a healthy, happy, and safe holiday season. Unions built the middle class, and union carpenters work hard every day to build our communities while they build good careers that provide for their families. This season, we hope you get to enjoy time with friends and family. Happy holidays from Executive Secretary Treasurer Pat Nelson and the staff of the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Tuesday edition post-Christmas. That means we're live. We're doing it live up in here, and that means you can participate. 844-967-2789. Want to turn the topic slightly. We're still going to play some backyard politics here. Great state of Wisconsin, where I'm originating from, the Solidarity Realty Studios right here, Madison, Wisconsin. And the guy that is being featured here at the Guardian works like a block away from me at the Wisconsin State Capitol, just on the top end of State Street. I'm like a block away. And the headline here at the Guardian, and I appreciate it. I think maybe Kurt shared this with me over the Christmas holiday. The headline at The Guardian, a Wisconsin right-winger's fall from conservative grace. And then the additional part, sort of the quote part of the headline, the MAGA crowd despises him. And I'm speaking about Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. And they do indeed despise you in many ways, Robin. And I want to throw this out, you know, because he is worth your derision. In early December, a right-wing Wisconsin organization called HOT, H-O-T, government, sent out a breathless email. Mike Lindell, the pillow salesman, turned election conspiracy theorist and staunch Donald Trump ally, had nominated an important Wisconsin politician for a dubious award. The prize would go to a person who exemplifies leadership and being an obstacle to stopping election crime, the email declared. Lindell's target wasn't a Democrat, nonpartisan election official, or even a moderate Republican. It was Robin Voss, the powerful Wisconsin Republican Assembly Speaker. And the nomination reflects a stark turn of fortunes for Voss, who has spent more than a decade using every tool. Oh, and he's a tool. Every tool at his disposal to cement Republican power in Wisconsin, touting a deeply conservative record, including on voting. Voss helped redraw the state's legislative maps in 2011, ensuring Republican control of the legislature ever since. The same year, he followed former Republican Governor Scott Walker's lead in creating the most restrictive voter identification law in the country and passing legislation to kneecap union power in a state where organized labor was once the core of the Democratic coalition. So those of us locally here, most of you listening, you know Robin Voss. You know, he's not a good man. You know, he's been at the center of Moulton's malfeasance here in the state of Wisconsin for a decade or more. So I'm going to spare you some of the history, and I'm going to jump down in the body of the Guardian piece. But I would encourage you, I've got this posted at the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. Read it for yourself. Don't believe me. But Bill Leaders had some things to say about him. Under Voss's leadership, the Republican-controlled legislature has flexed outsized power in Wisconsin. While statewide races are often determined by vanishingly narrow margins, Republicans can comfortably count on strong majorities in the legislature. We mentioned the product of the 2011 redistricting law Voss helped craft. He currently presides over a 64-35 seat majority in the Assembly, which he has leveraged to strengthen Republican power in the state. Now, here's a quote from Voss. Democrats can't accept that because they think the only reason they're losing is the maps. Maybe it's your strategy. Now, Voss has said something to the effect of, you know,
they have better candidates, better ideas. That's what Robin Voss said. But Robin Voss has also been a guy who doesn't really like to act in the daylight. And in fact, has changed many of the laws affecting legislature disclosure, let's say to the press. I'm going to read again from the body of this Guardian piece. In 2015, Voss even tried to bring about a law that would shield state lawmakers entirely from the public records request. The efforts failed, but he and other members of the caucus are known to habitually delete their work emails, a practice that, while legal, makes it harder for journalists and the public to access documents. And here's a quote from Bill Leaders, a political journalist and the president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council. When it comes to sunshine and government, Robin Voss is the Prince of Darkness.
I'm the Prince of Darkness.
Yeah, the Prince of Darkness. So anyways, let's talk about where Voss lost him. After years of fighting Democrats, the 2020 election brought Voss into a separate and unexpectedly fierce conflict with his own party. A day before the scheduled certification of the presidential election in Congress, as Trump supporters piled into buses headed for D.C. for a rally that would devolve into the January 6th Capitol riot, 14 Wisconsin lawmakers, including 13 members of the assembly, signed a letter addressed to Mike Pence, the vice president, urging him not to certify the election. The missive, signed by lawmakers in five swing states, accused governors and state officials of obfuscation and intentional deception, and claimed state legislatures had the final say in certifying election results. The chair and vice chair of Wisconsin's Assembly Committee on Campaigns and Elections were among the signatories. Voss did not sign, but in a press conference that day, he told reporters he took the party's right-wing base seriously and said the widespread doubt about the election results called for a reevaluation of the electoral process. Since then, he sought to walk a tightrope of appeasing his base while refusing to bow to the wildest demands. But that's proven challenging. Trump and his allies spent months filing lawsuits to overturn his loss in Wisconsin and other states, and win his lawsuit asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court, this was before Protasiewicz, to toss out thousands of votes cast in the Democratic strongholds failed. He tried to pressure Voss and other Republicans in the legislature to decertify the elections themselves. I think it's unlikely we would find enough cases of fraud to overturn the election. Well, that's what Voss said. But then he hired Michael Gableman, right? He says in this article at The Guardian, one of my biggest regrets was hiring Gableman. He was way wackier than I thought. Well, the guy was out at Stop the Steal rallies immediately. Dude, you knew how wacky he was. You were trying to appease the Trump, the MAGA, right? You're trying to hold him at bay. Well, now they came for you. And in fact, Donald Trump came to Wisconsin looking for him. Under pressure from Trump, Voss in 2021 announced an investigation into the election, appointing Gableman, a former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. And we found out today, Hagedorn clerked under Gableman. What a fine distinction. Would bolster Trump's disproven claims of election fraud and spoken at Wisconsin's Stop the Steal rally shortly after the 2020 election as special counsel. During his investigation, Gableman traveled across the U.S. speaking at elections conferences hosted by Mike Lindell and viewing the discredited Cyber Ninjas election audit in Maricopa County, Arizona. A year later, when the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled the use of ballot drop boxes during the 2020 election was unlawful, the former president approached Voss with the call to decertify the election. And when he didn't do it, Voss endorsed Adam Steen. And Steen almost beat Voss. And let's not forget, new maps or not, Voss is going to get primaried by Adam Steen again this year. Come back, a happier happy hour post-Christmas edition.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The moment you walk into Family Natural Foods, you know you'll have a great experience with excellent customer service. Their knowledgeable staff are welcoming and friendly, happy to help you with any questions or needs you bring in. Have you tried their oils and vinegars yet? You can taste test them before you buy. Some favorites among the gourmet balsamic vinegars include cranberry, date, and apple. Think beyond the salad bowl. These are great on everything from veggies to grilled meats. Family Natural Foods, 910 West Grand Avenue.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. A winter storm is pounding parts of the northern plains. Chad Hoffman lives in southeast Aurora, Colorado, where they've gotten about 8 inches of snow.
This isn't a huge deal for us because you can still get around, and our city and state snow removal